Blog Talk Radio.
I am immortal, I'll never fade away. I'm a legacy that lives beyond, far beyond the grave.
That works.
don't know if anyone can hear me out there. I have no one in chat, so I can't tell if I'm actually broadcasting or if I'm on mute. No, I'm actually broadcasting. So you know I've heard my comment. All righty then. That was weird. Well, welcome to Terrifier Radio. Good evening, everyone, on Tuesday night here in August. It's hot down here in Texas. It was 95, 96 degrees today. So, yeah. And we're going to do our mandatory sponsor. This is NOLA Ghost Tours down in New Orleans. If you're down that way, look them up. It's different from any ghost tours that is down there. So here's our sponsor.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the locations and you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
All right. That's our sponsor there, NOLA Ghost Tours down in New Orleans. They do a great job down there, Chris and his crew. I'm flying solo right now. My guest, Tasha Starr, should be calling in about 20 minutes for any of you listeners out there. We'll be discussing all kinds of things with the paranormal. I got to talk with her last night, and then I actually was on her show for a little while. And we talked about politics and religion, two no-nos. But we had a great time talking about it and kind of voicing our opinions out there, you know, and that's just the way it is sometimes. Our country, you know, there's a lot of bad things going on. There's good things, too. You got to be positive, but there are a lot of crazy things going on, and we're all very opinionated nowadays with the state of our country. So we talked about that last night on her show. Like I said, Melissa, one of my co-hosts, she's going through some health issues and whatnot, so she won't be joining us tonight. And Ashley and Melissa, Ashley and Misty, had to work late, so I am flying solo right now. So we're going to take a look, which we always normally do on this show. We're going to do a little bit of news here. Used to do this with my co-host for a couple years, Jody Parks, and I wish her all the best in what she's doing now. And let's see here. I'm trying to find some things to share with you guys. Normally I share news that's crazy and weird out there in the world that you don't normally hear about. You know, CNN and all them, they're covering the Gaza-Israel issues and the Ebola, which is getting kind of scary. Right before I came on, CNN said that a flight from Africa had a child on it that was spitting up blood, possibly could be another Ebola contaminant. So it's crazy how the world is things are going around right now. Here it is. All right, we're going to do some weird news now for you. I'm scrolling down through here. This is from the Telegraph out of the UK. Train travels to apartment block. What? No, that's stupid. I don't want that stuff. Boy, my internet is just not wanting to be very nice tonight. Scrolling down through here to see what we can find. I'm sorry if I am boring anyone out there. I don't normally fly solo. I've been doing radio for about 3 years and always have a guest, a co-host, to kind of play off of. And so having to do it all myself is quite new. Really and truly, this site right here is not very funny, to be honest with y'all. I'm going back here. I'm going to pull up another site here. Let's try this one here. Weird, funny, strange, and odd news. Hope everybody's having a great August so far. I know there's parts of the country that are experiencing a lot of rain and whatnot. I have part of my team doing a interview tonight with a possible case, private home case, residential. So they're out doing that while I'm taking care of this stuff here. I really don't care about that. Where is the funny? Well, let's look at celeb news first. We always got to see that. Oh, here we go. Naked man performing sex. And then it changes on me. Wow. Let's go back over here. Trying to fly by the seat of your pants is not fun when you're trying to do live radio. let's see if this article will pull back up here. Gotta love technology. And I did have two guests in listening to the show, and they disappeared, so I bored the hell out of them. Wow. Let's see here. Naked man performing sex act on cliff, rescued after falling in the river. Now, what in the hell was this guy thinking? Wow. While I'm having all these issues here, I'm going to try to figure this out real quick here. But it may or may not happen. Sorry for all the screw-ups tonight. I'm sure you guys in archives are laughing at the outlaw because I'm normally not like this. I'm pretty laid back, comfortable when I have someone to talk to.
I don't know nothing about that. All I know is that somebody is going to get whooped over this thing.
Oh, yeah. That's damn true. Damn true right there. You said it, my friend. You said it. And this wonderful internet is I want to pull up very quickly, so even trying to read an article is a pain in my ass. Emergency operation to save Ernest Kirk, who police claim may have been high on drugs during the incident. A naked man had to be rescued after falling into a river while performing a sex act on a cliff in broad daylight. He fell into the river in Oregon while exposing himself on a cliff bank, according to officers on the scene. Police attempted to reason with the 31-year-old who was wanted by police for parole violation. So he whips it out, huh? He continued the sordid sex act in full view of the officers before losing consciousness and falling into the river. Wow. Can we say he was high on something? I do believe. You know, and from time to time, I'm trying to figure out how to get this internet up and running, but it's not really wanting to cooperate very well. So, I don't know. Yeah, TikTok, definitely. Wow. At least I have my sound effects while I'm trying to figure out how to shit. You know? I just don't know nowadays what's going on here. Excuse my language, but...
10-6-9, 10-6-9, we got whores in the city. We need backup now!
Yeah, that's true. Got whores.
That was really cool.
No, Beavis, that also sucked.
What do you know, asswipe?
I know everything, but Munch.
Well, I think I'm going to play some music because this little bit is not working out for me. Let's see what we can find to play. Wow. What a boring show. I'm boring myself. That's how bad it is. Pretty sad when you bore yourself and you're the damn host of the show. But yeah. So what happens when you have no co-hosts, absolutely no help. And a computer that sucks, it really screws everything up to the point of, what else do you do, you know? What else do you do? See what this is here. As soon as this starts playing, everyone, I'm going to take a little break and we'll be right back. Tasha Starr will be calling in. Hopefully you've not stopped listening.
It's late in the night, almost 3 a.m. and I'm in the dungeon right now. It's pitch black. And it's time to see who else is here with me.
from the Debunker Boys on our Saturday night show on air with us right now. He's going to talk about what they're doing over there on Saturday nights. Ryan, what's up?
Oh, not much, man. My absence of a life put me, and I decided to check Facebook and saw you needed someone to call in. So I thought I'd chat with you a little bit.
It's kind of hard. You've done it. It's hard trying to talk to yourself.
It's very hard, you know. I remember the first 15 minutes of the birthday show where I was just kind of like waiting for my guest to call in. I'm just like, oh, what the hell am I doing? I should be cracking a beer. Why am I here?
So, yeah, what's going on over there on Saturdays?
Well, we're trying to kind of, I guess, reformat the show a little bit. Rather than listening to the same two old boring guys talk for a whole 2 hours, we added our buddy Dave on, and for the first, 10, 15 minutes, he's going to do his world news segment, which is pretty cool. You know, usually it's non-paranormal related. It's usually government conspiracy and this and that. That's what he's really into, and he kind of shares a couple of stories in the news, and then, you know, we do our thing, and then we're actually interviewing a bunch of different women right now. We're going to add a segment called the Debunker Babes to our show, which is going to be one or two, preferably two women that are going to kind of do it in the Debunker Boys style format, but kind of do their own thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Most of our listener bases, you know, males, and I'm sure they want to hear a sexy female every once in a while.
Right.
We're gonna try to get things a little more organized. We've actually been called the Howard Stern of the paranormal community. The kind of the way we talk, and it should be fun to see what we do with this. And I think that, and then we got a couple of people that are actually going to start marketing for us. I'm going to be moving the show to a studio. I'm actually going to be working out of a professional studio about 30 minutes away from me every week. Once the studio's completely built, my buddy's in the works right now building that, so it'll be excellent sound quality. He's going to be creating custom soundtracks for us, original music, an original intro and everything like that, so we're not just, you know, hey, welcome to the Debunker Boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for listening,
yeah.
Just kind of things to make it more exciting. We're working with a few things. So.
Yeah, me and Matt were talking because he said he would help fund it a little bit of upgrading our package here on Blog Talk to the bigger package where we get more marketing tools to our disposal and more advertisement for the network and. More airtime if need be. If somebody's doing a live event, you would have 3 hours
per
day instead of two.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We're looking at actually creating T-shirts, and especially once we get these sexy females on. You know, making a T-shirt with them on the T-shirt that says, debunk this or something like that, and looking at selling that, and looking at expanding to iTunes.
Actually, we're already on iTunes.
Are we?
I don't know if you knew that. Yes.
Well, you can go
to iTunes and...
Well, with the show being explicit, you can't give them out for free. So,
I think I've remember I've changed our ratings. Even though we still cuss on the show, I changed the rating back off of explicit because of the fact when we rate a show explicit, I noticed that on our blog talk page, it doesn't tell you that the show is live. It doesn't advertise you or nothing. So I switched this back when I switched this show back, and we damn sure cuss here. I switched y'all back too because I want to make sure that everybody knew that y'all were on air. It advertised you and whatnot. So being rated PG-13, you can download all the episodes of The Bunker Boys or any show on the network for free on iTunes.
Yeah, we're I'm talking with a few booking agents to get some more big names to come and interview on the show.
Yeah.
And then we can start selling them for like 50 cents to 99 cents a show. Raise some funds that way and everything.
I told Matt, because I do get a little bit of money from our sponsors, not much, because I gave him a hell of a deal, but instead of using it to help pay for, the package, put that money together and get higher, because there's professionals out there that do professional recordings as far as, because I want to get a station identification recording, for the network so you can play that on your show, and then I want to get one for every show specifically, like, you're now listening to, whatever, professionally done. So, we have more professionalism on our shows as far as, how it goes. But, yeah, that would be great. Yeah, trying to pour some more money in would be awesome. Maybe one of these days, if I can ever figure it out, is actually put on a URN radio network event somewhere. That would be cool.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at. We're actually in the process of talking with a couple of producers, so that's kind of our motivation to reformat everything, to see where we can go with this. Our listener base just keeps on growing. And I mean, this is something like me and Robert never imagined when we started this. We were just doing it because we were pissed off at people. And, we had no idea we'd be doing this, every week, and people actually would listen to us.
Well, yeah. I ain't going to lie. You guys have the toughest night, time slot night, being a Saturday night, because a lot of the paranormal people are out doing investigations and whatnot. But you guys have done a hell of a job in still building an audience, on a Saturday night, people are actually listening to you, and I think that's badass.
Well, yeah, it's definitely not easy. I'm just about every week I'm sending out about 900 to 1,000 personal messages to people on Facebook and this and that, and Robert's dropped a few dollars to create some advertisements for it. And, it's just really sad that URN does, or not URN, Blog Talk does not accurately show the numbers because, we put in all this work to advertise, and we know we're reaching between 150 and 200 people at least a night, minimum. But our numbers are still only showing in the 50s. So, it's a little bit of a nut buster.
Maybe they'll get that tweaked and get that fixed because, like Matt and I were talking, I've had a chat room full of people before, and he has too. And then you'll go in and look at the numbers, and it'll say you had 3 live listeners. And you're like, well, I had 35 people in chat that were listening. So something's not right.
Just recently, Robert and I created a website, and right now it's free. It's under Wix.com, for the Debunker Boys. And it's cool, the apps that you can actually upload onto that. I got a slideshow, you know, a contact us page, an actual chat room page, you know. And if I could get people to actually use it. And one thing about, you know, raising this money, we hope to be able to buy the domain name and actually get the website, you know, going with some more things. That'd be really cool. You know, just trying to get more people recognizing us, because when we talk to a producer, we've talked with Eric Paulin, the producer of Ghost Adventures, and he was like, well, I like the idea of the Bunker Boys, but you guys are just a podcast. You know, anyone can do a podcast. And I'm like, right. I know, man, but, you know, our numbers are getting up there. And he's like, well, when your numbers get into the thousands, then hit me up. And, yeah, that guy's kind of a douche. But he's very difficult to talk with, because he's got so much hatred inside of him from different things that have happened. And you know, he washed his hands clean of Ghost Adventures last year, and that, you know, you can't bring that name up around him, otherwise he kind of gets a little snobby. But we're definitely having fun.
That's good, man. And I look forward to when you guys relaunch. And like I said, I've been talking to folks and trying to figure out different things that I can do to help the network grow. And so we'll figure some more things out. But I'm glad that you guys are doing what you can to, you know, bring more listeners to your show. It's a great show. So everybody that's listening now, check them out on Saturday nights, 8 to 10 p.m. Central, right here on the URN. And thanks for calling in, Ryan. I got my my guest on hold, so I'm going to talk to her now.
All right. Well, you have a great night. Stay cool, and we'll chat with you later.
All right, man. Have a good night.
Bye.
Hello.
Hey, it's Sasha. Star, what's going on?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry about the being late, because the Skype thing on my tablet is not working, so my apologies.
No. Better late than never. And
yeah, exactly.
It's not that. I've been doing this for about 3 years, and I've always had co-hosts. And, you know, because it's a lot easier to do a show when you have co-hosts.
Especially
when you got a long show, you know, you got somebody to feed off of. And yeah, for the first 20-25 minutes, I was struggling because I didn't have anything prepared.
I do that
to be
every night.
I
pretty much do that with my radio show. I'm like, okay, what am I going to talk about now? It usually just comes down to the last like 30 minutes right before the show, and then it all comes together somehow. I don't know how.
Right.
Here.
Yeah, and I was struggling to get my internet going right so that I could run the board. By the time I did that, the show was starting, so then I was like, bam, what am I going to talk about? So I was trying to pull up some weird news out in the world, and the computers started going screwy on me. So then I tried to play a song, and it didn't play a song. And then my buddy Ryan, because I have a private URN radio network Facebook deal where just all the hosts and co-hosts are in and we talk. And I posted it earlier, well, this would be interesting talking to myself for a little while.
So he
called in. Yeah, he called in.
I'm on my radio show. I'm like, they're talking to myself, but that's all right. At least you're intelligent, so.
Right? Okay. Yeah. So how are things tonight?
Pretty good. I've got one kid in the house. My daughter's sitting out here watching me. She ain't going to cause any trouble, so she's a little older. 12 years old.
Right.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I can't even talk. What was you talking about earlier, right before I got on the show, about the Ghost Adventures director or producer?
Ryan, he was talking about his show. His show is called the Bunker Boys, and they air on Saturdays here on my network. And he was talking about how their fan base is increasing here on their show, and he was talking to the former producer of Ghost Adventures about, you know, their show. And the guy was kind of being a douche, saying, well, it's just a podcast. Anybody can do a podcast. Get back to me when your numbers are in the thousands. So,
why doesn't he work for the show anymore? I mean, I know about the show. I don't get into it like that, though.
There's no telling.
Act bait.
He left last year.
I always have to jump on Zach Bagans, I swear.
Well, in honor of you coming on tonight, before you came on, before Ryan called in, I actually played a Zach Bagans song because he has an album. And one of the shows, now they do a great job and they have lots of listeners, so hopefully they still have a show to talk about, but they do a show based on Ghost Adventures. It's called GAC Family Radio, and they do it on Friday night here on the network, and it's all about Ghost Adventures and whatnot. So hopefully they still have a show to talk about, or they'll have to figure something else out. But, yeah, he loaded up all this. These songs from Zach Bagans. I got a whole album of Nick Groff on the studio. So
I think Nick Groff is awesome with music, but when you go to Zach Bagans, it's a little different.
Right. But after our conversation last night on the phone, I thought it would be funny to play that Zach Bagans song before you came on.
Thank God I didn't hear it. Oh, well.
But,
go again.
But yeah. So.
Oh, man. I wish you could come to Scarefest this year, though. Seriously, that would be awesome. Got to promote that real quick. To the 14th, Lexington, Kentucky. Yes, I'll be there. And then I get to hang out with Zach.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 3 days of Zach Bagans and all his, I'm not even going to say the word on air, but, yeah, girls following him.
Oh, yes. So.
I'm about to have to, delete, half of the people on my Facebook because all they do is post pictures about Ghost Adventures. I'm like, dude, there's more life to this? Seriously? I take it in a lot further because I'm a psychic medium, so, you know, it's a lot more personal to me, and it's not just going out with a camera.
Right. And
which I'm not
going to
knock. But, when you do what I do, oh, God. I can, like I said, you know, last night, I can walk into a place, I just know what's around me. I do not need a camera or anything.
Right. Well, that's what we're going to do tonight is I want to let our listeners get to know you. And for our listeners out there, I have asked Tasha if she wanted to come help out on this show. She's more than welcome to. So keep your fingers crossed. Maybe she will. Don't know.
Here. I made it. Just go a few minutes late, but I'm here. Oh, well.
Right. But, you know, like I said, I have one co-host that's having health problems, and I don't know when she's coming back. And I got two others that are sisters, and they call in as one person. And when one of them has to work late, then I lose both of them. So, like tonight,
okay.
I'm without a coach.
All right. Well, I'm here. And we're just sitting here anyway, so we can go.
Right. But for everybody out there that don't know you, when did you you said you were psychic medium, so have you noticed that you've had these gifts all your life, or was there a particular point in your life they started getting strong? How do you get into the paranormal and all that?
I have seriously always had it, but nobody believed me until I actually started getting into the paranormal. I went to Bobby Mackey's in 2009 for the Ghost Adventures live event up there. There was 100 people up there, and I was one of them. Like I was telling you last night, I never had even seen that show before, didn't acknowledge really the paranormal TV shows or anything like that. I went up there and got into it, and a lot of stuff happened. I got followed home. When I was up there getting physically sick, and not just what happened with me, it was a lot of other people that, you know, they got attacked or this and that. An EVP got knocked out of Bishop James Long's hand right in front of us, and it was not staged, because I know him personally.
Right.
Anyway.
I read in Zach's book. I read in Zach's book that particular event, a lot of people that the people that were there at the event actually had things fall on home. A lot of things happened to people that went to that event that you were at.
And I'm one of them, because I woke up the next morning, I had a bite mark on my wrist, and
wow.
It's a human bite mark. You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, I had a cat walking around the house. I was like, but he's older. He would never do that. But you can tell the difference between an animal bite and a human bite. And it was bleeding when I woke up. You always think, I was like, well, did I turn over on something? I'm not the only one. And then we had, like, total financial, emotional, relationship disasters, everything after that.
Yeah.
That place is not a joke.
Yeah. Well, I know from my personal experiences dealing with all the dark cases that I get down here in Texas. I don't know what's in the water down here, but people down here love dabbling in shit and opening doors and not closing them, and all hell breaks loose, and I get called, and I've seen a full possession of one of my team members, and that was quite an experience, especially when I burned her forehead with the Holy Bible. I mean, it physically burned her skin, and I challenged anybody out there to try to explain to me how. It might be the Holy Bible, but in science, it's a book. It's a book with a leather cover, and how that burns somebody's skin. You know what I'm saying?
But it still has the Word of God in it, you know, and that will come through with a possession. I've never personally had to deal with possessions myself, but it was more like a spiritual obsession. Have you read about that? We're going into, like, way demonology here, because I've went through that. It's almost borderline possession.
And
I brought
like,
holy water.
Is it more like a demonic oppression?
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't my fault. Not what I brought home from an investigation. The place where I used to live, my old apartment, which my old shows, I've talked about it a lot. I mean, the place was haunted. I mean, a guy killed himself there 2 months before we moved in, and they didn't tell me.
Oh, wow.
So
I
was there 2 years, and I knew there was something around. I just didn't want to, you know, bring it out. And then when I brought the white sage home and holy water, that next week was hell. I've got everything. I mean, I don't particularly believe on, you know, putting stuff on tape a lot, but this stuff really happened, and I did get it.
Right. Right.
Very intelligent, but it was demonic.
Yeah. Well, what happens a lot of times, and I've noticed, just to comment on that, I've noticed in my cases, things are bad, but if I bring religion in,
mm-hmm.
whether I have the homeowners open the Bible to Ephesians 6, the armor of God, or whatever I might do, when we expose this thing for what it really is, then it just goes haywire.
Destroy your life. I mean, people want to call it coincidence, but I don't. I mean, always after I brought that home and started saying prayers, and I have a Catholic friend that told me about some prayers to say too, which I'm not Catholic, but I still believe in the Word of God. Anyway, all hell was unleashed. Even the stove caught on fire in front. Okay, my fiance opened up the oven door when I had it preheating, and a big ball of flames just burst out in his face the next day, out of nowhere.
Oh, wow.
And it's a brand new stove. I mean, just stuff around the apartment started messing up. We had stuff flying off shelves. A lamp levitated upwards.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that was, it was totally demonic. I know it. I felt it.
Yeah.
I thought, and then it actually takes over your mind, too.
Yes,
it did for a week. And I think it was that spiritual obsession, like I was talking about. Basically, I was having thoughts that I never thought in my life.
Right.
Not talking about killing people or anything like that, but I'm going to lay here and die with a heart attack. It was,
right.
You know, making me, it was, yeah, putting fear in me.
Yeah, that's what they do. And, I know what you're talking about with object manipulation and that. One case I was working on, it was really bad, demonic case. I walked out of a living room of a homeowner's house because they told me that this thing would rearrange their furniture, and I was like, there's no way. I don't think that could happen. And I walked in their kid's bedroom, and I heard all this moving around, and I ran back out, and the couch was on the other side of the room, and the recliner had been moved. So, of course, my skeptic side, I'm running around the house trying to find who might have done it, and there was nobody there except me and the parent. And the kid was at his grandparents' home, so he wasn't there to try to fool me. But I've seen crazy stuff like that, and I just like, wow.
They can move stuff, though. Evil spirits.
Oh, I know.
I was on the phone with a priest when all this was going on in my old apartment, and he was asking me about, when I got the holy water and all that, and yes, it's legit, but he said, has the holy water ever been moved? And I'm like, when he said that, my heart dropped into my stomach because I know where I put it every single night. It was right by my bed. And the next day, it was in the closet in the living room all the way across the apartment. I said, yeah. And he said, that can't happen. He's just trying to play with your mind again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was one of the best things I've ever been through. Now, I've been to, like, Bobby Mackey's. I've done all these other places and stuff. But when it actually happens in your own home and you have to deal with it, that's, yeah. Come talk to me then, y'all. For real. I even had people on the Internet, can I come investigate your apartment? Sure, why not? But nobody ever showed up.
Right.
It was bad.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about because anytime I've dealt with one of these cases, my personal life goes to shit in a heartbeat.
Exactly.
And I've lost my job before, almost got kicked out. I got kicked out of one apartment. Just all kinds of crazy shit, and gets me down and depressed. And I just have to, I know that I'm being called by God to help these people. And even though I go through hell and back, I'm hard-headed. I'm going to help these people regardless of what happens to me. But And that kind of goes into the next thing we can talk about. Let's see what your opinion is on this. You know, being a psychic medium, you have more of an understanding of the other side because you talk to, you know, you're able to communicate with the spirit world. There's a lot of these teams that pop up all the time. You know, if I wanted to start up a team, which I have, but say I didn't have a team right now, I could start one up, put a web page up tonight, have some shirts made in a week, and call myself a paranormal team. And,
exactly.
You know,
I don't believe in the team concepts. I really don't. Because
well,
that brings in more, you know, like energy from, you know, the more people, the more energy they can feed off of, and then you got all the cameras and whatever devices you want to use. No. I can go into a place and feel it out myself real quick. I mean, within 2 minutes, and I can give somebody some answers.
Right.
I have 984 readings to date, and they are all 100% right. Just saying.
Cool. Now, what, with all these teams popping up, and we were talking about, you know, evil type cases. It just drives me up the wall when you got a team that hasn't been around long. You know, they've watched television shows and now they think they can investigate, and they go in and they try to help a client, and they make matters extremely worse and they leave the client hanging. Oh, I don't know how many times I've had to go in and clean up somebody else's mess.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on that? When people first get into paranormal, do you think they should be trying to help clients?
I agree because, you know, like you said, you know, people watch these shows and stuff and they think they can just jump into it, which, you know, I did too. I was like, okay, well, after the Ghost Adventures thing up there, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to make YouTube videos and do this and that. No, I got followed home the first night. It's just, you have to, like, personal with me, you have to protect yourself with God. I don't care what anybody's beliefs are, but believe in something higher when you go into these places. It's not a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always, you could appreciate this. I've always preached to people on my team that never, ever, 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 when investigating, tell the spirits that they can use your energy to manifest. Because
yes.
that is a form of invitation, and you don't know who's going to come in. Don't
and I
ever
made the same mistake. So when I first started doing this, you know, like I said, I didn't know what I was doing when I first started getting into this, but I said the same thing. You know, you can use my energy. Use my emotions or whatever. Oh, and yeah, within 5 minutes, it happened. And it's, oh, well, it wasn't just me. I mean, I've done a lot of investigations, you know, group investigations, and it's not just me. It happens to people that don't even believe in this stuff. Well,
right.
I started feeling weird when you said that, and I'm like, well, they were using your energy. Seriously. It's not a joke.
Amen.
That's pretty much
that.
Why I'm in. The only reason I'm in this field is to help people. It's not for a show at all.
Right.
And I'm doing Scarefest, and, you know, offering, you know, we can sit down and talk about your experiences with paranormal or do psychic readings, but I do not delve into evil anymore. That's why I had an investigation booked up for this summer at Bobby Mackey's with 30 people. And I canceled it. I could have made a lot of money off of that, too. But I said, nope.
Right.
After what happened last time.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. that's why I'm I'm kind of like on a hiatus when it comes to my team right now. I haven't done a residential case since December of last year, so I've kind of enjoyed the fact that I'm not dealing with all that nasty shit.
Well, I'm pretty sure you've investigated by yourself, though, right?
Not since I've been taking a break. I don't like doing it because the simple fact is, when I did investigate, the spirits had a tendency to be attracted to me. I mean, they wanted to talk to me. They would always call me out on the ghost box. I guess, you know, they like my energy. So that being said, I'm like, man, I don't know if I should ever investigate by myself because I could be a beacon.
I think I have better luck when I do it by myself. I don't get attacked as
bad. Yeah.
So it comes back to the whole team thing. I'd rather do it by myself, even though I do... He lives out of state, so, you know, we don't work together technically. We just promote each other's work, and that's what we call a team. We're not going out together. Yeah, you get it.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Shout out to Heath. I got to give his name out. Heath Smith. He'll be at Scarefest with me. He's pretty cool. He just had back surgery. Bless his heart.
Yeah. I made the mistake. I know that any investigator should not do, but when something happens close in your life, you have a tendency to not think about things that you're doing at that moment. And I had lost my girlfriend 3 years. I was actually on the phone with her when she passed away. She had a brain aneurysm. And
my God, I'm sorry. Wow.
Yeah, and so... And, you know, I was a paranormal investigator at the time, you know, I was doing that, and I was so distraught. I had my entire coffee table, I had all my equipment out, I had my K2 meter, all kinds of stuff, and every night I would fire that stuff up to see if she was here, and I would try
I've done that.
I tried to make contact with her, but at the same time, me being in the state of mind I was, you know, my defenses are down. My energy level's down because I'm depressed, I'm sad. I was starting to get reactions on my equipment, but they were real strong. And I was like, something in the back of me is like, this is going to turn out dark if I don't shut this shit off. You know what I'm saying? So I had to force
myself.
Exactly.
You know, that's why I always cut off my camera equipment and everything at my old apartment because I already knew.
Yeah.
I said, because they're just going to – I mean – at least the spirit I was dealing with was evil. I know that for a fact. But I said, if I continue this, it's going to – the house might blow up for all I know. That's how much fear got put in me. I swore to them after all the electrical stuff, even the air conditioner. Okay, well, I told you about the stove catching on fire, but the electrical unit or the air conditioning unit outside caught on fire. It was all this stuff all at once. And I said, if we don't – like, I think he's trying to kill us. We need to get out of here.
Right.
We got out, and so we're at the new place now. There's nothing here at all.
Right.
I love it. But I said a blessing, right before the last time I had to move, you know, little things out of your apartment and then finally lock it up for the last time. I said a blessing when I left the door. And I have, oh, my God, it's like night and day.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't eat over there. I couldn't sleep over there. I was awake for 36 hours straight and not doing anything, not drinking, nothing.
Wow.
And it was just constant. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And they do like to play on psychic mediums, too. They're more vulnerable, you know, because, you know, we hear stuff that other people don't hear. I can walk into a place and it's like... Hey, Tasha, how are you doing? I'm like, well, what's up?
I can tell you this from my experiences, because I have psychic mediums on my team. we'll come across spirits that they'll stand there in front of our, you know, because we have mediums that can see, feel. They got everything you got, and the spirit won't talk to them. Or they'll duck and dodge them all night. And that's always a red flag to us that whether it's a human spirit or not, they're up to no good because they don't want to communicate with us. They're putting up a bad vibe, you know. And there's some dickhead spirits out there. You know, they were assholes in life and they're assholes in the afterlife because their personality is still with them. And so you come across, you know, just like you did in everyday life, you come across all different types of people. And it's the same with the spirit world. And, you know,
a lot of them do. I mean, there's some of them, I don't think they're particularly evil. I think they just like to play jokes on humans, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Like,
I'm going to
really come back and haunt you. I promised I'd come back and haunt you. I mean, I get it.
Well, but they're
not evil.
No. And you know, that's what people don't understand because that's all they see on television and in the movies is the evil side because, you know, that's scary. But there are a lot of really good spirits out there. You know, I have one that hijacked his way back to my house from a case up in Arkansas, and he's been here ever since. And he plays jokes on me every night. Once in a while, I hide my keys from him, that kind of thing. But the thing about him is I already know the history of him. He was a practical joker in life. He part of a college organization that did practical jokes. He died when he was 43, but he appears to anybody that comes over here, he appears to be a boy. Because
that's
that was
what
his
I like about
story.
You. You've actually done the research on the spirit. Most investigators, quote unquote, don't do that. They don't look at the history at all of death or.
We look at all that before we go because we want to know who's there. You know, if they are there, if that spirit is there, we know everything about their life, and we don't have to ask them, well, what did you do? You know, what did you do for work or this, that, and that? You don't have to ask those stupid-ass questions because you already know. You know them, so then you want to get to know them as a person, as their personality. And like I say, with him, I know everything about him. He's a practical joker. And one of my friends asked him one day. He talks like he's 43, but my friend goes, man, this is just too weird. He goes, I'm sitting here looking at a 10-year-old boy that talks like an adult, you know? And
he got some more wisdom and he can talk a little bit better. See?
Well, we asked him, we said, well, why are you here at Kevin's house? You know, because I live alone. I just have my dog and my cat. And he said, well, I liked his energy, and he kind of somehow or another broke the attachment I had to the house that I grew up in, and I just like being over here. I like the energy about it. So I was like, well, cool. I wish you could pay rent or, you know, vacuum or do the dishes or something. That would help out a lot.
Exactly. I kind of tend to say that to my Aunt Ella. She halfway raised me, but she's a good spirit. She comes around every so often, and she likes to, like, move the rocking chair late night, and there's no wind going, nothing. And I know it's her anyway, but and I'm like, dang, why don't you come over here and help me do some dishes or something? vacuum, take the dog out.
Yeah, exactly.
Do my radio show for me.
Or
set it up. You know, that's a big hassle. Just setting up a radio show is like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm still getting my grandmother on my show. Watch. It's going to be good.
My grandmother. 75
years old and still using cuss words left and right.
My grandmother was on a radio show, but she wasn't on the show in person. One of the psychic mediums I was interviewing, she started coming through. And Grandma passed away back 2004, 2003, somewhere around in there. And I have never tried to attempt to contact her or nothing. You know, I just like, well, if she ever wants to come through when I'm talking to somebody with abilities, she'll come through, you know. And
exactly.
Lo and behold, I'm talking to this lady, and Grandma comes through and starts getting on my ass about some things that I was doing. And it was so funny. And I was like, damn.
Uh-oh.
And the way the medium, and it was on air, you know, it was live, you know, and Grandma was getting on my ass. I was like, damn, you know, and she's just like, well, she was just concerned, you know, because I'd lost my girlfriend, and, you know, it was last year that she did this, last fall, and I really haven't had great luck in the dating scene. You know, I'm 41 years old and still haven't been married, and she was just getting on my ass about I need to get out there and find somebody, and I'm just like,
well, my grandmother is alive, and she's still getting on my ass about not ever being married, which I am with somebody. We've been together for a long time, 2 kids, but,
yeah.
Yep, still getting on me. And I get it. I totally
right.
get it now.
Yeah, that's just how grandmas are, you know?
Yeah, but she's pretty cool, though. She said, like, well, this is the way she talks. I've got to change my voice a little bit. And she calls me Tosh. Tosh, if I ever get on your radio show, I'm going to give them hell. I said, do it. That'd be awesome to me. And she's 75 years old. She was supposed to die back in 1984 when she had cancer, and she's still alive. So.
That's awesome.
There's your miracle right there.
She's a tough woman.
She believes in the paranormal.
Because
she's had stuff happen around her house, which there was an old lady that used to live there before she moved in, and she passed away. And yeah, I can see why stuff is moving around. And she said, I thought I was crazy. No, you're not. I'm talking about, like, picture frames moving and, like, candlesticks moving. It happens.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Especially
yeah.
pictures of my grandfather that passed away. That's what she mainly talks about.
Right.
And the angel candlesticks, they're angels. I wonder why they're moving. An angel is checking on you. Just saying.
Have you ever come across, seen, talked to an angel? Or felt their energy?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely my Aunt Ella. She is an angel.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask is because,
I mean, you can feel it. It's like a calming feeling.
Right.
It's not like you get riled up during an investigation.
Yeah. One of my former team members, he got visited by one of the archangels. And it was Gabriel.
Oh.
Yeah, Gabriel.
Yeah, I've read up on all that.
Gabriel appeared to him in his front yard. He said he was sitting inside watching TV with his wife, and it was like a sonic boom kind of explosion. The whole house shook, right? But his wife didn't move. She was still watching. He looked at her, and he goes, you didn't just see the house shake and hear that noise? And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, and so he walks outside, and there's this bright-ass light, right? And he's just kind of paralyzed by it. He can't move, and he sees this big, muscular guy in armor. It had Greek written all across, or whatever, Greek, whatever kind of language it was, Hebrew, whatever, around his belt.
Yeah.
He had angel wings. He had long blonde hair and piercing eyes.
I was
going to
say long hair. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And my friend goes, you know, because he knew it had to been an angel, but he goes, "Who are you?" And Gabriel kind of just pushed this all his energy at him, and he said, and I'm gonna put it in his words. He said, when he did that, I didn't know if I needed to shit or throw up or both. He said that energy was so powerful that I've never felt any spirit that I've ever come across. He said an archangel's energy is like no other. He said not even the demonics that I've come in contact had this kind of power.
I don't think I've encountered an archangel yet.
Yeah.
It's always a possibility.
But when he pushed that energy on him, he goes, "You know who I am. I'm the Archangel Gabriel." And, of course, he was like, uh-oh, what did I do, you know? Archangel Gabriel standing in my front yard.
No wonder he shit on himself.
But he basically told him, he goes, "You're going to be visited by all the archangels except for Michael." And since that event, he's run into Raphael. And I can't go through all the names right now. I've drawn a blank, but he's gone through all of them. And they all talk in code. They give you advice, but it's not like how we talk, straightforward. It's kind of coded, and it doesn't dawn on to you until something happens paranormal related when you're trying to help a client that what they told you makes sense.
Yeah. See, I've been reading a book here lately, and it's all about, like, the archangels and all that, and even Hell's Angels. The name of it is Angels. Mm-hmm. I've got it in my hand. Uh-oh. And then it says Endangered Species. And I still can't understand it, though. And I even try to go back in the Bible and look at stuff, and I'm like, okay. There's so many divisions of angels, according to this book.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how, I haven't done too much, because, of course, I've had to do all the demonology research because of the client. So I really haven't been able to do too much on the arc. I know there's seven of them, but I also know there's seven archdemons. There's seven archdemons that people don't realize. And I know on that
chapter, they call it Hell's Angels.
Yeah, and there's levels on that, and I've come across different levels of these things, you know, and. And I'm sure you got those levels on God's end as well. But, you know, the crazy thing that my girlfriend, after she passed away, she always gave me shit when she was alive. She gave me shit about she gave me shit about investigating, you know, ghost hunting. And she
fiancé, I know.
Yeah,
he doesn't really. I mean, he kind of believes, but he doesn't.
Yeah. Well, she would say, you see any ghosts tonight? And start laughing, you know. And then a week after she passed away, my teammate was here that's got all his abilities, and he'd come by to get something. And we were sitting there shooting the bull, and I can always tell when he's sensing something because he just stopped. And he's not paying attention to anything.
That's kind of what I do.
And I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "A spirit just walked in your house." I was like, "Oh, God." And he's never met my girlfriend.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Well, you know,
I'm like, "Oh, God."
So I was like, "Okay, here we go," you know. And he's never met her, so he don't even know what she looks like. And I said, "Well, is it male, female?" He goes, "It's female." I was like, "Oh, okay." And then he starts describing her, and I was like, "Yep, that's her." And, of course, you know, he'll get quiet because she's talking to him, and then he'll repeat exactly how she's, you know, what she's saying. Because with him, me and him being so close that he's not going to filter anything she's going to say. You know, sometimes when you're doing a reading for a client, you know, somebody you don't know, you kind of pick and choose what you say, you know, some of the times. So other times you might be a straight shooter on what they're saying. But for him, he's going to, he repeated exactly word for word what she said. So as he's telling me this stuff, I'm like, that's her, you know, the way she talks.
Was it stuff that she said in real life?
Yes.
Or almost kind of like it?
Oh, it was verbatim. And I said, what is she doing? He goes, well, it's kind of funny.
Dang,
that
she's really come back to haunt you. No,
well,
doubt.
I said, well, what is she doing right now? He goes, she's standing over by the TV and she's drinking a margarita. I just started laughing. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, and she started giving, well, the first part of it was, because I really didn't know how her death came about, because when I heard her scream, I couldn't get a hold of her. And I was pulling up to work when I was on the phone with her, so I had to go to work. So I didn't know anything of what happened. I know that she's clumsy, and sometimes she falls. One time she fell when she was on the phone and broke her ankle, tripped over the dog. So I didn't know what was going on, but I got that gut feeling that something horrible had happened. And I looked on her Facebook page later in the day, and her family was posting that she had passed away at the hospital. And I was like, oh, my God. Well, and part of me, for a while, I had the guilt of, I knew something was horrible when I heard her scream because she was outside in the backyard. Why didn't I call the EMS? You know, if I'd have done that, maybe she'd be alive, that kind of stuff that you go through. So I had a lot of blame on myself. So that was one of the messages.
See, here, I can pick up spirit kind of quick after you just, oh, my God, that's weird. So what was her main health problem? There's something, I'm just getting this, like, my chest is so heavy right now. I'm serious. Like, it feels like it's going from my throat down to my chest. And she had some kind of health problem. But maybe ever acknowledged it.
No, that's what happened. She had a four-wheeler wreck about a year and a half prior to her death, where she had the four-wheeler flip up on top of her and it fractured her skull. And after that wreck, she was having severe migraines. And they were progressively getting worse to the point towards the end of her life, she was taking shots of Demerol, Soma, Xanax, you name it, she was putting it down her throat. And nothing would stop the pain in her head.
Oh, damn it.
Okay.
But, see, it happens sometimes. They just take over. No, when I do pick up spirits, I do pick up their physical pain, how they died.
Yeah.
And it's only temporary, thank God. But,
yeah,
it's, God, it's all around the head and down the throat and down to the chest. Something about the chest. What is it about the chest?
I don't know. She had a heart problem.
Oh, well.
Yeah, she had a heart problem.
And nobody
she had a bad
wanted
heart.
To listen to her. Nobody wanted to listen to her.
Nope.
That's it. Oh, damn it. Here I go. Told you. I'm very accredited. I'm your next co-host.
That's right.
Oh my God!
No, that's funny. If you're picking up, because when you pick up stuff,
she's coming back
and,
more. Like you said, your friend picked up on her one night. It's not because she's like sitting there. Well, she might want to pick on you a little bit, but that's more like, hey, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere.
That was, when my friend picked up on her, that was a week or two after her death. I haven't had anybody do a reading like that since. You know, every now and then, if I'm talking to somebody like I'm doing you tonight, she might come through. And I'm sure she's still around. From the most part, most mediums tell me that she's around me all the time, watches out for my ass.
Well, here goes my psychic again. What was it about her music? Something about music. She's talking about music.
Music.
I don't know if it's like blasting it in the car, or did she play music, or something about music.
Yeah, she loved her damn music in the car.
Okay. Oh, my. Are you serious? I can't make this up. I don't even know her.
Nope.
Well, you got a free reading tonight. No, but she's around, though. And I was like, music in a car. I mean, what is that about?
Well, she's always driving everywhere.
Hell
Stick
no.
Up her feet. What?
Well, I guess I can do this. It's weird. Every time I do it, it amazes me. Every single time. Almost 1,000 times I've done it, but whatever. Oh, my God.
What?
She just basically wants to say, too, like, no, she's still hanging. She still loves you. That's why she's around. Even though she's going to pick on you a little bit.
Pick on me? How does she pick on me?
No, she...
Does she
Well, like your friend picking her up in spirit, you know.
Yeah.
At least he was around to pick that up, though.
Right.
And that's awesome.
She can pick on me all she wants. I don't mind her.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, yeah. She's...
Throw something at you in your sleep.
Oh, she's probably has. Who knows?
Oh, I can just hear her now. She'd be like, damn it, and throw something. Or do something. I don't know.
Do you know her name?
Oh, God, I ain't really good with names in the psychic part. I don't know why I'm picking up on a K name. Is there a K in her name?
Nope.
See. No, I'm not.
Funny.
A K.
You never know.
Maybe is there a K in her family, though? Wait a minute.
Yes. Her mom.
Is her real name K, or is it like another name?
No, her last name started with a B.
Okay. But her mom, oh my God.
Her mom's name's Kay.
That's it? It just, I was like, who's Kay? I mean, I don't know what. Wait, here we go again. They're coming through. J name, who's J? I can't get the name, though.
Jared? Jay would be her friend, Jared.
Oh, shit. Yep, this stuff really happens. It's like it just came through all of a sudden. But I can't pick up her name to save my life. I'm trying to.
Oh, it's okay. I just, you never know. I'm one of these guys, being in the paranormal, I try to test people with gifts just to see what their limits are. Because everybody's different when it comes to gifts.
Who's got the M name?
M.
Or somebody.
M.
What the hell? I'm actually getting touched right now. Anyway.
Tammy,
it can't be McKenzie.
Tammy, don't be groping her, girl.
Dang. Unless somebody's telling me to tell her to go to bed.
Oh, I tried to get Tammy to do stuff in my house. I put coins up on my bar and asked her to move them. I'd go to bed and leave them there and then come back, and they'd still be there in the same spot. I'm like, damn it.
Oh, I've done the same thing, but it was like the evil spirit, the dude that killed himself at the other apartment. And yeah, he even moved the money that I put out.
Well,
I was like, where did that go?
I just
need a pack of cigarettes.
You know, I just, every now and then, I want to physically see something, you know, done by her so that I know she's still around. I know through my body she is. But, you know, that actual seeing with your eyes affirmation that someone's around, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do.
Yeah, it is.
With everything that I do, I'm just like, dang. But I was telling people earlier, I'm more of like an, you know, I hear stuff. I don't particularly see it.
Yeah, you're
more. I've
seen
a couple shadows, but it could been a shadow. Exactly, like science shadow. It ain't like ghost. But the EVPs and stuff that I've got on tape, wow.
I wonder, okay, see if she comes through on this. Because I think she had a hand in this. I was going on a camping trip the 4th of July, and I had to go into Walmart to get some things. And somebody that her and I know very well, and she doesn't like at all, I don't like at all, was standing in front of me at the checkout line. And I haven't seen this person since her death. And I could hear her laughing in my ear while I was standing behind this person. Because she knew I hated him.
She was playing a joke on you again.
So she,
I mean, even though it was kind of like fate that met up, but yeah.
Damn it, Tammy.
I've heard that before. She's getting, dang. They will still play jokes in death. I mean, God rest her soul. I'm not trying to, you know, like laugh about that whole situation, but dang, she is still rolling.
That's what I like to hear. She was a ball of energy when she was on Earth, so I'm sure she's still such a pill over there on that side. Yeah, I said that.
You're like a, oh, God, I cannot, uh-oh, here I go again. It's either a necklace or a bracelet. Did you buy her a necklace or a bracelet? Or what? There's something about a necklace or a bracelet. I don't know.
I got her a bracelet.
Oh, my God. Well, I might as well be blunt about it. Was she buried in that, or what happened to the bracelet?
I don't know.
Because she's bitching, she's like, my bracelet, my bracelet, my bracelet, and I don't know.
No, I don't know if she was buried in it or not, because I didn't get to see. I didn't go to the funeral home because I stood distraught. I was at the funeral, but I only saw the casket. They didn't have it open. I know I'm still pissed the fact that she doesn't have a headstone. I go out there all the time, and she has a damn marker from the funeral home, and it's been years. And I'm just like, your family can't even get you a fucking headstone.
Mm-hmm. She never got along. I know she didn't get along with her family, right?
Nope.
Maybe kind of, sort of. And played it off.
Yep.
There was some kind of deep-rooted something. Let's see? Damn.
Yep. You got it, girl. You got it.
I know. All night long. People don't believe me about this stuff. And I don't think she's particularly worried about, like, getting a big headstone. It's not that. It's the fact, no, she's got, like, some kind of hatred toward her family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she does.
Just give me a minute. I can probably pick up on that.
We talked about it all the time. Yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
The person in her life that pretty much raised her was her grandparents, and her grandfather in particular she was close to.
Dang, maybe that's why she's coming to me. I was really close with my grandfather. I mean, he was a preacher. Even though he messed up, like, before he became a preacher, but everybody messes up, fine, whatever. I hate when people bring up the damn past like that.
Well, you know, I always tell people this. We're all human beings. We're not perfect. God didn't build us perfect.
No.
We're all going to screw up. We're going to make bad decisions. Where the good people separate from the bad people is the good people take their mistakes and make themselves better from it.
Exactly. That's why he put us here, too. I mean, that's my opinion. God put us here. I mean, honestly, I don't know why he put us here, but it's all a test between good and evil.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. It's a test. We're learning.
Church is in session now. Yeah, you found your new co-host. Yay.
I told you you would like hanging out with me on air.
It's been good though. How much time do you have left on the show?
About 20 minutes.
All right, I'll hang with you for a little bit.
Yeah, usually they'll
go potty.
Sorry, I'm talking to my son. Go potty!
Oh, okay.
Damn, that was quick.
Okay, go.
Mommy's doing a show.
Yeah, I'm. No, you're going to bed.
God bless us.
Yes, go to bed.
God bless his heart. He's autistic, but dang.
Yeah.
Yes, you've got 100 Hot Wheels. Go play with them. Pick one.
Oh.
100.
That just dawned on me. No wonder she came to you. Her daughter is autistic. She has a daughter that's autistic.
What in the hell? Now, see, I wasn't even picking up on... Well, her daughter's still alive, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, see, that's why I couldn't pick up on her. Oh, my God. I scare myself doing this stuff.
But she has a common ground with you because, you know, she has a child that she... how old is Haley now? Haley is... she was 16 when she passed, so she's, wow, Haley's getting older, 19.
Now that's what they do. I'm sitting here thinking, like, I've done got into it with my family tonight a little bit. What do you think about homeschooling a kid?
Good question, because you don't know this about me, but I was a high school teacher for 9 years.
Now, see, I did internship in college for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Go ahead.
Homeschooling is fine for a child if they have good parents or parents, whatever the situation might be, that are, you know, actually teaching them stuff, you know, going through and doing something. Because I've known kids in my career that their parents would pull them out saying they're homeschooling them, and they'd be roaming the streets, you know?
But I've looked
at
I don't know how it is down there, but I've already, you know, downloaded the whole big file from the government about homeschooling, and I don't see anywhere where it says I have to take a course and pay money to homeschool my child, and everybody else is sitting here trying to argue with me about that.
Well, see, down here you don't have to do that.
According to the government up here, you can either homeschool them or send them to public school, whatever you want to do. That's your right.
Right.
And then my mom was like, oh, well, you're going to jail for truancy. I said, what? I'm seriously thinking about it with my kids. I mean, because my daughter has a lot of issues right now.
Yeah.
I ain't going to go into it online, but... and then my son, he's autistic. I can handle him. Plus, I can send him to therapy 3 times a week for speech and behavior, you know, and I think it would work out perfect. No, you got to send him to school where they can get shot. I mean, seriously, though.
Right.
I don't know about the town you live in, but Lexington, Kentucky is getting bad about shootings. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't trust anybody.
I've been through Lexington quite a bit in my life. So,
And every day it just gets worse. Somebody shot every single night.
Right. Yeah, see, they started down here in several school districts around my area, sent all the teachers that wanted to carry a handgun, firearm at school, to a class, got them certified, and so there are teachers, some of the school districts that are actually packing. So, because, yeah,
well,
I mean,
because these teenagers, like, well, how, I mean, I graduated in 1998, but in 19—hush, Mackenzie, I know how to do the show. Anyway, in 1994, I was a freshman, and I seen a guy back then carry a gun to school in his backpack, show it off to everybody.
Yeah.
It's 10 times worse nowadays. No, not, it's like 1,000 times worse.
I graduated in 92, and the last day of school, my senior year, this girl walked up the front steps of the school and had a gun and was going to walk in the school and shoot her boyfriend for cheating on her. And I remember that still. And, you know, school's tough. I'm telling you, that's one reason I only lasted 9 years in teaching, because of the stress, the amount of stress that I was undertaking, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you're not only a teacher, you're a counselor, you're a police officer.
Yeah.
I was a father figure to I don't know how many kids that really didn't have anybody at home to talk to about personal things, so they came to me, and you know, which was fine. I didn't mind doing it because I loved helping kids. I love kids, so if I could be a positive influence in their life, so be it. I'll do it.
Good teachers out there, though. And I'm sure you were one of them, but some of these teachers out there nowadays, you know, they just go in to get paid. My daughter's even told me, some of them scream at her, you know, shut up. You don't talk to kids like that, especially not teenagers. Because they're good. What are they going to do? Rebel right back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The more rules you slap down on somebody, and I know this because I was one of them. I was the product of very strict parents with me. I was a straight-A student,
mm-hmm.
number three in my class, didn't do any
I was number
in.
Two. What?
Yeah.
Same here.
But, they told me the deal was I didn't have to work as long as I kept my grades up and I was in all the sports. So I did all my sports, you know, did all the activities. My curfew was 11 o'clock even as a senior. And I was one of the older seniors in my class. Yeah, I was 18 years old and I had to be home by 11. And if I went anywhere, I had to check in. But
well, same here.
You know, hey, but when I got to college, hello, no parents, no rules.
It's over now.
It's over now. Party on.
I will show you freedom. They're waving a damn American flag. Woo! Playing Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah. I put a...
I like CCR.
I put up a 1.3 my first semester at a four-year college because I did 2 years at a two-year college, and I had straight A's there. And then I went to the big school, partied my ass off, and made a 1.3 GPA that semester. My parents were,
oh my
were
God,
freaked
that's
out.
Awful.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't even work, counting up.
Well, hell, I had friends because I joined a fraternity, so I was, you know, the epitome of all the party movies you see out there, that I lived it. I had one friend, he had a 0.7 GPA. I was like, how the hell do you get a 0.7? Yeah.
Are you serious? You got like a 0.1 in every class, so you add it up. It's simple mathematics.
So.
I can... Homeschool. Lord, I've had a good time.
But, you know, I mean, back to the original question, homeschool, it can be a positive thing because I will say this. Tammy, who, when she was alive, the special ed program down here in Texas is horrible. Horrible. Because...
Kind of like Kentucky.
And being a teacher, they tried doing it when I was teaching, and I completely understand where their thought process is, but they don't understand as a teacher, you can't integrate all these children that have these special needs into a regular classroom because they can't get
gosh.
The. They can't.
That's
get
what
the
made me so mad last year. Okay, my son, he was in kindergarten last year, and they, of course, you know, they put him in a regular classroom, but he had, you know, half the day in regular and then half the day in, like, therapy and all that. But still, these kids were making fun of him left and right, and, of course, it burned me up as a parent, but I don't know. That's why both of them I'd like to homeschool because of the autism and then we got the teenager thing and she's been through a lot. Cool. She really has. And she's tough. I'm going to give her that.
Yeah.
It's a wonder she ain't beat some bitch's ass. I'm serious.
Hey, that brings up another big point about it is at least with the homeschooling, you don't have these kids bullying. You know, there's so much bullying going on nowadays and really hurting kids.
Well, she's just going into seventh grade, supposedly, now. But she even brought that up about bullying.
Yeah, it's bad.
She gets it.
Now, the best years of my teaching was my first 4 years when I was 26, fresh out of college, and I was teaching junior high. I had fifth grade through eighth grade, and at that school district, they still had corporal punishment in the policy, and we all the male teachers and coaches, we got to carry paddles. And
paddling, yeah, I got paddled, too, in third grade.
Boy, I whooped some ass.
Of course.
People are like, oh, that's abuse. But I was like, you guys don't realize that you got a disruptive child and you take them outside and you bust that ass one time, you don't have any more problem with them.
The Bible says, doesn't the Bible say spare the rod, spoil the child? I know it does.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is, and I told people this, some of the worst kids in the school district that I had, I beat their ass constantly with that paddle. Those kids, when they got into high school and moved away from the junior high and they went to another school, if the high school let out early that day and we were still in class at the junior high, those kids that gave me so much hell, and I busted their butt and tried to keep them in line, they would come and sit in my classroom and visit with me because they
yeah,
had that much.
They knew you laid down the law.
Yeah, and they
and
had
you
respect
were in the right.
Them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with kids nowadays. I was like, why are they paddling out of school? Just saying. Ain't they weren't afraid to beat my ass back in the day.
Hell no. Hell, but
just
hell,
for,
I was
just for talking?
I was
yeah,
more
I was
scared.
Talking to some little cute little boy, so what, but... Yeah, and then took me out in the hallway, busted my ass, and then busted my ass again in front of the classroom. I'm like, oh, my God, is this ever going to end? But I learned from
it.
I really did learn from it.
Yeah, but I was more scared of getting my ass beat when I got home if I got in trouble at school because Dad would get the belt out and whip my ass
shoot.
With a belt. And I was like, oh, hell no.
I'm too. Oh, I got the splash water. And I'm talking about
yep.
the metal end of it, not the
yep.
plastic part.
And see, my parents, like I told you last
like,
night, my parents were born in, my parents were born and raised in Athens, Ohio, and all my family's up there, and that's where I was born in Wilmington, Ohio, outside of Cincinnati. And yeah, my grandfather, boy. This will probably bring back a memory. I'm sure you've had these times. I remember getting in trouble. I took some candy out of the candy dish my grandma had, and grandpa caught me because I didn't ask. And he said, go outside to that bush and pick a switch. You bring that
oh,
switch
yeah,
back
I got
to
that
me,
too.
Boy.
And you always pick
back
the
like
smallest
a,
one.
Yes, I brought back a small one. He whipped my ass with that one and then told me to go get another
shoot,
one.
Shoot, I got my legs beat.
Yeah.
Not by my grandfather, but by my aunt. And she was a little woman. She said, go out there and go pick you a branch out. You're in trouble. And, of course, you know, I'm going to get the smallest one, a dumbass, Tasha. And, Louis, she didn't tear the back of my legs up. But you're speaking of, about your grandfather? Guess what my grandfather did one time? He didn't do it to me personally, but all right. So we just down there hanging out with my cousins and everything. Oh, my God. One of my cousins. And he's like 31 and homeless now and in jail all the time. But anyway, that's what he gets. Back then, a kid, he said, Papaw ain't going to do nothing. Well, if Papaw didn't pick him up and throw him out the damn window, I'm not sitting here. In front of me and my other cousin, I was like, uh-oh, shut up, be quiet. Y'all are next. That's what he said, y'all are next. I was like, I was breathing. I didn't say a word. But that's the old school way of doing it.
Yep.
And it should
yep.
be the new school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh, man. Well, thanks. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Oh, you're
hope
welcome.
You had fun.
Let's do next Tuesday. I can do that.
Yeah, if you wanna help out with the show and be a co-host, I got to find a guest for next week. But yeah.
Well, I can help you out with that. I've actually got a guy that was wanting to come on my show. He's part of the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, Rick McCallum.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, God, I don't really want to do this show by myself. You know what I'm saying? Because you know how it is to host the show by yourself. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
I've already done one show with him, and I kind of lost it. I was like, oh, my God, you work with Kane Hodder, which I've met Kane Hodder and all that. But,
right.
Yeah, I lost it there for a minute.
Well, you know, when you have somebody else on air with you interviewing a guest, a lot of times I might go, you know, there's times where my mind goes blank and I don't have a question, and all of a sudden they finish their answer to the last question, and you're just like, oh, what do I do?
I was like, think. My God, I'm going. There's sometimes I make notes for my show, but that's actually rare nowadays. I used to. Now I get on there, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like having a panic attack before the damn show even goes on air.
Yeah. And you didn't get to meet my crazy ass sisters from Virginia. You'll love them to death. Everybody's going to listen to this show and they're going to go, damn, where the hell are these people from? They all sound like country hicks. Because I got my
the
Texas accent.
The Paranormal Outlaws.
Yeah, that's my nickname. That's my call online, Paranormal Outlaw.
I hate to say that. I might have to steal that and put that on my Scarefest banner, the Paranormal Outlaw. And I told my daughter about that, and I said, I'm going to put a pair of cowboy boots at the end of it. I don't even wear boots. No, it should be high heels.
Well, I made a photograph that's on my radio page for this show. It's a skull, it's a skull face with a cowboy hat and two pistols, and it says Paranormal Outlaw on it. Yeah, because everybody wanted to start all that drama bullshit last year, so I kind of just backed out of all this paranormal stuff, and I said, you know what? Since they want kind of push me to the outside and make me like an outlaw, I'll just become the Paranormal Outlaw. And you're going to kiss my ass. I'll do things the way I want to do them.
You go, boy. Tell him. Well, he did. Good.
Yeah, I did.
Damn, haters. Why don't you actually try it? I ain't talking about you, but like all these other people listening, why don't you actually try real paranormal investigating? Just saying. Instead of walking around here like a dumbass. Hey, can you come out? Demons, come get me. I said that one night on my show. I said, oh, yeah, demons bequeath me. Oh, shit. They ain't going to give no free will to me. More like dead will. Oh, gosh, my phone's going dead.
Well, it's about over with anyway. I'm about to play a song and get the hell out of here. But thanks for coming on tonight, and I'll have you on next week, and we'll get this thing rolling. Like I say, we've got
to
get
it. Yeah, I'll talk to you here in a little while on my cell phone. I've got to charge up my landline. I'm on the land phone. I'm, like, all, like, old school now again. I'm on a land phone.
All right. Well, everybody out there, have a great night, and we'll see you again next Tuesday. Good night, everyone.
All right.
I got to find a song real quick. God dang it. That'll work.